Come back with the wrong piece of music.
Hey, what was I supposed to play, Rick?
I don't know. Let me see if I can find something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Now it's a real hot night, baby. What can I say? Got this real high fever and it's coming your way. I've got to tell my stuff when I walk in the room. I'm a red hot pistol and I'm coming for you. You can't hide from me. Ain't no way. I'm a madman, baby. So, I've got fire burning up my skin.
Why would you want to date a guy who has fire burning up his skin? That doesn't sound like fun at all.
And gasoline coming out of his voice?
Seriously. I've got fire burning up my skin just sounds weird. That's like saying I've got felt coming out of my ears. It just doesn't make any sense. All right. Who doesn't want to get frisky? That's like engaging in petting. I don't think people get frisky anymore. I think people just have sex. Sir Rick Emerson Show, this is James. Hello, sir. James? I think James is busy listening to Red Hot Pistol.
No, you need to disassociate that. That's not Red Hot Pistol.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, thank you. Thank you for breaking me of that habit right now. This is not Red Hot Pistol. This is a guy auditioning for Red Hot Pistol using one of their backing tracks and his own melody and vocal stylings atop it. So there you go. So I apologize to the good people in Red Hot Pistol. It's a fine band. Certainly a good band, anyway. Much better than this guy makes them sound. So they have asked us to find them a new lead singer. And I didn't really feel confident that I could do it. But after having listened to this, it doesn't really seem like we could do much worse. You know what I mean? And that is saying a lot. James, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, what's up?
I just wanted to know how long you think we'll be playing it, so I know when to come back from NPR.
No, it's really, you got to appreciate the rock and roll genius here of whoever this guy is that's decided to sing over the top. Has to like a Richard Simmons kind of vibe going on.
You know what? With his timing, you'd think he's done it before, and I would love to hear anything he's done in the past if you can find it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. Why, whatever are you implying, sir? That guy seemed to be implying that the lead singer of this band was somebody we should know. I'm not the lead singer of this band. That guy singing on that track was somebody we ought to know. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, please don't play that again or I'll have to steal both of your cars.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go.
That was funny.
It's 503-733-2970. Rick, after all this, you're saying they're still looking for a lead singer? All right. The devil, you say. Okay. Rick, what the hell? I have one question. Was that Sean Hannity singing over the Red Hot Pistols song? Again, somehow I can picture Sean Hannity dressed as Richard Simmons. We have a question for Sarah here. Joining us in the studio in just a moment will be Dennis Pitzenbarger. We'll be joined by Tim Riley before that. And I have to say that a young lady named Julia is in the studio with us today. She's part of a job shadow program from her high school. And we were talking about, this is not something that had happened to her, but we were talking about teachers and weird experiences with teachers. Sarah had mentioned, what kind of teacher was it that hit on you? Was he like a math teacher or what? If you want to say, you don't have to say specifically, but I mean,
he was in the history department.
He was in the history department. Because this email says, hey, Sarah, just curious how you dealt with your teacher's come-ons. My 15-year-old daughter was a TA for a teacher who actually went so far as to grope her.
Oh.
He says, needless to say, we are pursuing legal action. Well, and you know that.
It just became very awkward because I just visibly distanced myself from him. Like, if he'd come and sit next to me, I would move my stuff to the other side of the room.
Yeah. I mean,
it was for a semester. It got really uncomfortable, and then I didn't do it the next semester.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that still goes on. I mean, it's just as long as there's creepy guys who become teachers, there's going to be girls that get leered and whatnot. Let's see, Rick, we had a math teacher. I shouldn't even say where. We had a math teacher / football coach at blank high school in Portland who married a girl in my senior class the summer we graduated. And yes, that's blank's And then he says again, and yes, that's Black High School on the corner of Black and Blank. Go southeast. All right, 503s. I'm not going to specify. Let's, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Dennis Pitzenbarger will join us. In the meantime, though, let us pay a visit.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, there are some good kids out there. We have some students raising pigs to pay for their class trip. These are 12 seniors at the Eddyville Charter School in Eddyville, Oregon. They're raising pigs to make money. Wilbur Porkchop and Schwartz came to the school about a month ago. They weigh about 60 pounds. They hope to have them up to, say, 220 pounds by the time the class trip arrives. Winning 5 Grammy Awards can help sales of your CD. John Weston, CEO of Street Pulse, says sales of the Dixie Chicks taken the long way have increased 823, do you hear that, Scotty J? 823%. Since the Grammy show the other night.
The Grammys really exposed them to people who were not aware that even maybe that album was out. They didn't get that much radio airplay on this particular album. And the political situation, I think, kind of threw the project also in the very beginning.
And Scotty was just so... Julie, is it true that Scotty was ranting at you about the Dixie Chicks? Because I walked by that room, and you were kind of there as he screen calls, and he was, and another thing about the Grammys! And it sounded like he was really just going on about it.
No. He was using that something as an example.
I see. Okay. It's Tim Riley.
Yes, the Dixie Chicks will get more extensive airplay, apparently.
Usually, in the past with this situation, throughout the years, something that really has escalated from the Grammys and then starts giving radio more attention to the project, seeing that now that the public is also buying.
Scotty's typing the screen angrily. It's because all radio stations are liberal, too. Like, in Scotty's... Scotty, I guess I don't understand... In Scotty's world, everybody everywhere is liberal except for him. Seriously. Everybody in Hollywood is liberal. Everybody on the radio is liberal. All the people in the news are liberal. Everybody in Portland is liberal. Really, Scotty, I think it's just you. I think you, by your own reasoning here, you must just be the lone holdout. So, all right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it's time to talk about Halloween with our friends over at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, I wasn't prepared. I am no...
You should have known. Halloween means the Cleveland Clinic. I mean, Halloween, not Valentine's Day.
It's Halloween.
I was wondering.
I don't know what's going on.
Cleveland Clinic.
Stop. Now I can't find it. I'm flustered. Hold on.
Well, Melissa Olson of the Cleveland Clinic.
Wait. Here we go.
Says dark chocolate contains the same amount of flavonoids found in apples, blueberries, and green tea. If you're giving chocolates, the darker the better, but don't eat the whole box.
Just like with the love.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy in moderation. And again, what is moderation? There is no specific serving size. But it's my belief that if you totally eliminate certain things from your diet, you're going to end up kind of going wild on them for days like Valentine's Day, for example. So enjoy a little bit, but in the context of an overall heart-healthy diet.
Okay. First of all, a flavonoid is a made-up thing. There are no flavonoids. There is no... there is no resin.
Have you ever seen the flavonoid abduction cases?
No.
I think Clyde Lewis might know something about that.
Is a flavonoid like...
the autopsy video of the flavonoid?
What are you talking about, Tim Riley?
Look, I'm just talking about this dark chocolate for Valentine's Day.
Everyone loves...
Simple cookie today.
Everyone loves dark chocolate for Valentine's Day.
Yes, we can talk about black love.
We are. That's why I segued right
into
this.
It's not black love.
It's Black Love Day. According to A.O. Handy Kendi of the Washington-based...
Is that just a whole series of letters?
A.O. Handy Kendi. That's her name. At the Washington-based African-American Holiday Association, it's Black Love Day.
Black Love Day is a commemorative holiday. It's the third nationally celebrated holiday of atonement, reconciliation, and a 24-hour demonstration of black love.
One needn't be black to participate in Black Love Day.
I was just
going to
ask if I'm excluded from Black Love Day.
No, you may participate.
When we extend the concept of Black Love Day to Europeans or people of the white race. This is a time for whites to really be mindful about their attitudes on race and how this is a time to really show appreciation for what black people have done.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry.
Did I repeat that?
No, I wasn't laughing at this. I wasn't laughing at her. The funniest thing just happened. I have to just recreate this, though. So this woman just now is talking. This woman is talking about this.
This is a time for
I'll just recreate the snippet. She goes, "This is a time for white people to be conscious of their attitudes." And Scotty types on the screen in all caps, F that. He uses
bunch of liberals.
The actual word. Oh. Like, I mean, like the irony meter doesn't go high enough. There is no irony tag that's sufficiently large. As she's, white people should examine their attitudes. And Scotty, F that. Like in huge letters on the screen. Yes, Scotty, what could you possibly have to examine?
I don't know. If he goes any farther, Scotty's going to make he have to cart it off to rehab.
It just came out of nowhere on the screen. I mean, it was insane. Oh, good God almighty. What goes on in that guy's head? Oh, my God almighty. Oh, good Lord.
I still don't understand what Black Love Day is.
I don't know, Tim. Let's continue talking about Black Love Day.
All right. Black Love Day.
When we extend the concept of Black Love Day to Europeans or people of the white race, this is a time for
then it's no longer Black Love Day. That doesn't make any sense.
About their attitudes on race and how this is a time
that's
to really
where it happened.
Show appreciation for what black people have done.
I still don't get it.
And then an awkward silence descended on the room. I'm really
Black Love Day is a commemorative holiday. It's the third national
commemorative mean made up. Yes, like Kwanzaa. Yes. Commemorative is code for fabricated.
And a 24-hour demonstration of black love.
How does one demonstrate black love?
Having sexual relations, I believe. What? Oh, like you weren't all thinking the same thing. And like,
I really don't think that there's a commemorative holiday to celebrate going and sleeping with black people to show you love them.
I'm just saying I'm for unity in all of its forms. I'm for people coming together in all of its forms. That's what I'm saying. And by the way,
this is a really awkward conversation. Don't you feel like we're saying something wrong?
I'm not. I'm saying that, you know what? And when she
is
says.
It's really called Black Love
when
Day.
When she says.
Yes, it's called Black Love Day.
When she says that then we need a 24-hour demonstration of love or so, black love, doesn't that sound like one of those.
Underway.
Right now?
Like one of those marathons?
Where? Doesn't that sound like one of those marathon porn shoots that they do sometimes? Like with Annabelle Chong or whatever
there's
that woman
be
is? Like
observing it.
She
right
boned
now.
Like 300 guys or something in the course of 5 minutes.
I guess that's the
sorry. I just realized that Julie has been in the studio for this entire conversation. I'm sorry. I apologize to you, your teachers, your loved ones, your parents, your siblings, anybody who ever has to work with you.
I've heard worse.
Well, it is a high school after all. It is in Southeast. Do we have anything else, Tim, or do we have any other thoughts?
We leave the rest of your imagination, and we move along to white people celebrating Valentine's Day. Love is in the air with many white celebrities, including Ty Pennington, who's the host of Extreme Hangover, Makeover.
He is white.
He says his favorite way to celebrate Black Love Day is to devote it to someone special.
Clocking out, turning the phone off, you know what I mean?
Putting you couldn't be whiter than this guy.
And just spending time with somebody that, you know, you really dig spending time with. And I guess maybe doing whatever it is they want to do.
That's, you back.
Know, letting them have the day.
Open up a brew, watch some TV, play a little Xbox, crash, bake. Yeah, that's the whitest guy on earth right there.
Rob Lowe says he likes to celebrate Black Love Day by getting out of town.
I live in California, so snow is a romantic thing for us Californians. It's not a hassle.
What kind
I
of
like
snow are we talking
take
about?
Take Valentine's Day and get up somewhere where you can be by a fire and be in the snow and have a good excuse to stay in all day.
The star of Rescue Me, Sherry Sam, says she doesn't make a big deal out of Black Love Day.
I believe that you just show your partner your love every day of the year, and Valentine's Day to me is like a Hallmark holiday, so I kind of go anti-establishment on that.
Ooh, you're so edgy. Way to break new ground. Somebody I don't care about.
That's, what was her name here? She's on the Rescue Me. Her name is,
Sherry Sand.
That's it. Oh, no, I think it's Dennis that. Leary's ex-wife, I think, on the show. I watched that show for a season, and then I kind of fell away from it for some reason. Well, there you go. Black Love Month.
Today.
I'm sorry. Are they only the day?
Well, if it's that popular, they're extended. Like Kwanzaa.
It's like History Month, but it's Black Love Day.
Well, what is tomorrow? Is tomorrow something else?
I don't know.
Is this the only holiday within a holiday?
There's a website I could go to.
White Love Day tomorrow. Black Chocolate Day. Thank you, Scotty. That doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, whatever happened
to that? It sounds inappropriate.
No, because
don't read anything that Scotty types on my screen ever.
Whatever happened to that chocolate love sounder we used to have? You know, we used to have the chocolate love sounder from when that, what was her name, Pam? Was it Pam who called? And it was Foxy Lady, and it was the official chocolate love. I don't even know where that sounder went. All right. In any event, oh, good God. All right, this is the drummer from the Red Hot Pistols, or from Red Hot Pistol, rather. Let me just see if I can bring this up. And, of course, I dropped the, let's welcome down to the, good God almighty. That never stops being unnerving. All right, that's a sign that we need to move on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11, our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I have a few issues to work out with you, but maybe we should wait until we have a little more time. There's been some talk about not only stealing my office, also...
Can you believe that? The day after you left, Rick was just moving all
your
stuff.
So you know,
he was pawing through your things.
I stole my office, and then...
Did you just scour the whole thing?
Oh, it was boxes. I had to come down here and find them downstairs in the basement. And then I hear that... Last week there was some talk about leering at my wife's breast.
Yeah, and I apologize for using the phrase of your effing baby. I apologize for that. That was an inappropriate thing to say. I did not mean that to sound as mean spirited as it probably came out. I was just saying, no, here's the thing. First of all, I didn't take your office. I was given your office. It was taken away from you by someone else who's not me.
So was Dennis aware of this before he left, or did you just take it from him?
I don't really know. He was in Hawaii. I couldn't ask him. Now, could I? I don't want to ring up your long-distance bill and so forth. So, they give Rick Emerson an office. He doesn't ask questions. He just takes it.
In turn, grabs somebody else's stuff and puts it in a box and puts it in the...
Which means he was going through all of your stuff, Dennis, and he was talking about some whip or something.
I do have an
8-foot whip in my desk.
Not anymore. Somebody else came and took that.
Is that why I haven't used it today?
It's gone.
Oh, okay.
That's so unbelievably inappropriate.
I know things don't sound like they are.
That's so unbelievably awkward and could be taken wrong in so many hundreds of ways.
I apologize.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
It sounds like something to be heard at a Scotty garden party.
I found the rules for Black Love Day.
How instantly we're back on Black Love Day with Sarah. All right.
You'll do anything to not talk about how you leered at my wife.
I didn't leer at your wife. Okay,
that's
first of all,
why are there was talk of it last week?
Okay, first of all, one doesn't have to try very hard to leer at your wife's bosom. That's all I'm saying, because they are...
You just pointed out that whenever your wife takes pictures, she happens to make sure the sisters are in there.
That's what I'm saying. Your wife, you know what? Your wife is a beautiful woman, and I know that she's the mother of your child.
My happen child.
Child or children?
Child.
Wait,
child.
How come you have to open it? This is so awkward.
I get it confused with Ian, because Ian's got multiple children.
Ian's
very fertile.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, Julie, that you have to be in the room for any of this. I'm just saying, I know she's the mother of your child, and she's a great woman and all this, great poker player and so forth. I'm simply saying that it does seem like she has this overweening tendency to, whenever camera is pointed in her direction, to then make sure that she's leaning forward. And that her chest is pushed out, and that her shirt is unbuttoned.
Well, I would say unbuttoned, maybe not.
Can I also bring up something else that's awkward about your wife?
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying that now on the back.
On the subject.
No, I'm just saying this is nothing untoward. I'm just saying, sitting in what was your office?
Rick, you're sitting in the man's office. Sitting. You need to stop.
Sitting in his office anymore. I'm sitting in my office.
Yeah. Having someone much like the intern to my right packing my stuff in a box in a
ham. So here's the thing.
I think Rick did it himself.
I'm just saying, in the office that once was yours, the deal is it's hidden when the door is open, but when the door was shut, behind the door inside the office was this collage of photos of you, your wife, the baby, the wife, whatever, all these different combinations of the three of you, including you, and there was one in the middle. In the middle was one picture of you and I dressed like Paul Stanley for Kiss.
Absolutely.
For the Kiss concert, which is great. But then there's this one set of pictures of your wife, Brandy, that look very, very much like they are And I'm not implying that they're inappropriate in any way. She is fully clothed. But they do look very much like photos of when she was an underage model.
Well, she was...
Because she was a model, which I did not know, but I can tell they were profile cards. You know, it was like not like a headshot, but you know, like a shot of her or whatever posed, and it was like Brandy so and so, and then it gave like her height and like her contact information.
Yeah, like
whatever.
Shoe size, yeah, and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you wanted to get her to model like your clothing or whatever, it was like there was nothing racy, as the kids used to say. It was nothing risque, nothing blue, but. She did look to be not of age in some of those photos, and so that's a little weird. I'm sitting there looking at modeling photos of your wife when she's not yet 18.
I don't believe she was 18 when she took those photos.
No, I don't think she was either.
I believe she was a junior in high school when she was doing the modeling thing. And that obviously spilled over after she was of age.
Speaking of spilling over, so there's this whole series of photographs of your wife.
I've got to see these. I want to go upstairs and see them.
There's a whole series, and again, they're directly across from the desk. And so I'm sitting at the desk, and there are dozens of photographs of your wife as an older and with a very, very low-cut shirt, very generously endowed, one might say. And then right in the middle, a bunch of photographs of her at like 15. So that's a little strange.
I'm gonna go upstairs during the break and look at those.
Yeah, you see, go look. They're awkward. Okay. And there's this one where she's like licking her teeth. She's doing like a whole like... thing, as though she's like licking a beater, but there is no beater.
It's in my office.
Dennis.
It's behind my door.
I was weird, and I didn't want to take him down. I thought they might fall apart because it was a collage. You know what I mean?
I've said it 100 times. I have married so far out of my capability. I'm
very attractive woman. That's why it was awkward for me.
I'm just glad she has no idea what LASIK surgery is.
Fantastic. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. All right, there. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970.
I went to your office.
I like that tone of voice.
I cannot believe that you did that.
Better and better.
Yes? I cannot believe that you did that.
I didn't, okay.
Oh, I didn't see a collage of Brandy's breast so much as I did see a giant collage of your face on your wall.
That's not really something I did.
Yeah.
It was,
How did that get there?
Well, see, here's the thing. If I tell you the real story, you're not going to believe it. Honey, it's like this. We're entering another one of those moments where we sound like a married couple. Honey, if I tell you the real story, it's just going to sound so wild and unbelievable. That's a little gift from the engineering department.
Are you talking about the giant? Oh,
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about the gigantic 8-foot head?
I cannot believe I didn't know about that. How long ago did you put that up?
I don't know. How long have I been in Dennis's office?
Well, obviously, I've been gone since last Friday.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, really, it's just something I mentioned casually, and then I don't want to take
we
it
need
down.
To take
they put
a picture of that. That is the most ridiculous thing.
They put a lot of time into it.
Who's they?
You know, guys, dudes.
You?
Somebody. It wasn't me. I might have helped out a little bit. It might have been.
You put up a giant picture of your own face in your office.
Well, really intimidating. Yeah, I'm sorry, Julie is. I can't hear you, Julie's mic.
It was really intimidating.
Well, that's good. I mean,
what are you doing?
I mean, it was either that or like the water lilies thing.
Okay, after the show, I'm getting a picture of you in front of that thing. That is, why? Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, I just really the question is why not, Sarah? I mean, it's either that or just having
you
one
are
of those,
such an egomaniac. It is freaky.
One of those motivational things that says like endurance and
it's
has like a picture
of
a pond. Well, yes, that's one way. Yeah, that's one way to look at it. That's sort of just the way to depict that. Yes, it can be argued in one sense that it is just a giant picture of my own face. But really,
you know, there's no use talking about it. Let's just get a picture of it.
There's no other way to describe it. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There is an earthquake downtown today. Anybody feel it? 9:48. It was on the west bank of the Will Abbott. No injuries or damage. It was only a 1.7. Barely qualified to be an earthquake, but
quit your whining.
So stop it.
Quit calling Coin 6 to say that something on your wall jiggled.
Because nobody's going to answer the phone anyway.
Oh. What a bang.
Call the unemployment office if you want to speak to somebody from Coin.
Yeah. An 82-year-old Seattle man who used his cane to fend off an attacker with lighter fluid is being called a hero. Gus Jones and two women were sprayed with lighter fluid, and then two of the women were set on fire. Neither was seriously injured.
Oh, my God.
But Jones helped prevent further tragedy by going after the suspect by swinging his cane.
Right from there, I just started swinging that cane. You know, I didn't swing it but one time.
Wait for it. Cane! Gus Jones doesn't consider himself a hero.
I'm no hero.
It's funny.
You know, I'm merely trying to save myself and other people, too. That was all. He did a good job.
Jones received a brand new cane from the Seattle Police Guild.
Gus's actions really prevented further tragedy.
Yes, the new cane has an inscription read by Richard O'Neill of the Seattle Police Department.
And it says, in appreciation, Gus Jones from the Seattle Police Officers Guild. And we want you to have this, sir, and we want to thank you for everything that you did.
All right. Thank you.
He has no idea where he is. None.
Yeah, this is just like one.
That guy where is the pirate for Marie Callender?
He thinks he's back in the Philippines. He has no idea. He thinks he's somewhere in Da Nang. He has no idea where he is. All right.
The rapper Vanilla Ice has made a musical comeback of sorts. He's been hired by TurboTax to front its tax rap contest.
What?
Yeah, he's singing a rap song about taxes.
I 1099 my employees, I will get my refund, take my famo all the way out to Tahoe. Business deductions from Miami to Palermo. On April 15th, yo, you better be prepared so you learn before you burn or you end up like your poco. Or do what I do and use that TurboTax mojo. Audit defense, deduction maximizer, most trusted in the USA.
He was inspired by his own personal tax filing experience.
Kill me. Kill me. Kill me now. Scotty is disputing that he uses a 1099, by the way. All right. Oh, yeah, we got to save that clip, by the way. Yeah, that's fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean terrible. Let's talk to Jeff from, is this Jeff McGinley?
Yeah.
Jeff McGinley, engineer extraordinaire from CBS. Hello, sir.
We heard that there was a discussion about black love and a 16-year-old.
This is not Jeff McGinley.
We're going to need you to come up to the office the show.
Yes, very amusing. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And three seconds.
No,
become funny.
You're losing my call.
Become funny now.
You're losing.
No, too late. All right. Steven, you're on the Rick Emerson show.
Concept of black love.
Hi,
how's it going?
Hi, what's up? Oh, I'm sorry. This is Steven, the drummer for Red Hot Pistol.
It sure is.
Yeah, that song that got sent with the lyrics is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, see, that's not... That guy pursued us like crazy. He sent me, like, four different vocal tracks.
Well, you would have to. I mean,
and over and over. And that one was like, this is the mastered one. It's probably the best version of the ones that I've got. I was just like, oh, Jesus, you got to be joking me.
Are the other songs he sent you even worse?
No, it's just, like, single verses from the same song.
Oh, I see.
And they all came in, like, a two-hour period, too.
Because he freestyled it, man. Those lyrics live in him. The music's in his soul. He just knocked it out.
It was terrible. Yeah, I heard that, and I was just like, you've got to be joking. This is what we're in for.
Yeah. No, I disputed that we could find you a good lead singer, but we can find you somebody better than that, really, if that's where the bar is right now.
Yeah. It's set very low.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's Steven, the drummer from Red Hot Pistol. They want us to find a new lead singer for them. All right, fantastic. All right, we're here with Dennis Pritzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. Hello, sir.
I
didn't call you from the Portland Tribune, man. It slipped back into my old thing there.
That's okay.
The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11.
When's the TV show?
I don't know. Can we talk about this? You're not supposed to mention that. Haven't we talked about this like 100 times?
Awkward.
No, I'm sorry. I can never tell. Tim and I...
We're not allowed
Tim and to talk mention about outside projects. Project.
I mean, not supposed to talk about outside
I don't even know
adventures.
Where am I? Do I get a calendar?
So awkward.
We didn't get a calendar.
This whole show is... Seriously, we cannot...
You can't compare that.
You cannot use those words right next to each other. It just sounds wrong.
I know you don't intend it to sound wrong. It sounds wrong.
Okay, I'm... Don't mean to make you use the dumb button. I'm just...
Okay.
I'll just put that down. I'll give it to the intern. Here
She's not an intern.
A job shadower. And you're making her feel very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry.
She's going to
cry
her
after this. Okay. He didn't really give her... Well, he just handed it to her.
He handed it to her.
See, that sounds just as bad.
The fact that you would just hand the 16-year-old job shadower a whip.
Well, maybe... Okay, so let's go on to my trip to Maui.
I don't even know. I have no idea what's going on here. I have no idea.
I'm trying to segue into something else.
No, and Scotty's typing all of his crap to me about the Indigo Girls, the Dixie Chicks still.
Oh, good Lord. That was yesterday. Scotty, as a reformed Republican, now I don't know what I am. I'm like middle of the road. What do I say I am now?
What is your problem with Scotty yesterday?
Well, he just sounded stupid.
Well, that was
kind of a given thing. I mean, I love Scotty to death.
Let's welcome him to the studio.
No,
and Julie, I'm going to have Scotty kind of stand at your mic for a second, so you might want to.
It's very difficult to
stand back.
Yesterday,
keep your hands and feet away from his mouth.
Oh, here he comes.
All right, Scotty J entering the studio now.
No food or drink on the studio.
Look at you all being. You miss your corporate program director.
Well, I got the personal threat from Jeff McGinley.
Yeah, no, because this. Look, at some point, somebody's going to spill something in here.
It's not going to be me.
Whoever spills something second is almost. It's not that it doesn't matter. But spilling something second in here is not going to be like whoever spills something first. The first person to spill something in this brand new studio will be a pariah for all time. So it's not going to be me. That's all I'm saying. Scotty J, hello, sir.
Doing great, Rick. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Somebody's a little snippy.
I don't think he asked you how you were.
Oh.
I didn't, and now I'm not going to.
Hi, Rick. Great day.
Okay, what is your problem?
Nothing.
I think he's a little defensive because he realizes now there's four of us in here, including the job shadower.
What was your problem with...
The job shadower is still undecided.
What was your problem on Scotty's take on the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah. Are you asking me directly?
Yeah. Because you said you were listening. You said
and that I was stupid.
You said that you just wanted to rip out the radio.
Well, it was because it was just... Everything you say, for some reason, in some way, to some people, makes a logical statement. But then, within about three sentences, you contradict yourself every single time. You contradict yourself by saying, hey, you know what? We should be fighting the war and be proud of what our president is doing. But you know what? You couldn't get me on a plane if you had a gun to my head to go put an M16 out there.
Hey, I agree totally with that statement. I'm an honest guy, and I gave you the honest truth. And yeah, I'm not going. I'm 40 years old. I'm way out of shape.
You're in better shape than me.
Hell, if I am. I couldn't run a mile if I tried.
I thought you. Wait a minute. You're the guy with the great skin. It puts on you're working out. You got the
Working out. The only working out.
The guy
I did
with the great skin.
I went skiing this year one time.
Hold on.
That's it.
No, let's get back on Dennis pointing out.
Didn't we do a thing where he was going to have get the skin cream done
we nixed that program.
Oh well, there you go.
Oh, the Mary Kay guy. That's right. Yeah, you do have pretty great skin, Scotty.
I got wrinkles all right here, and I'm gonna have them wiped off somehow.
Okay.
Then I'll go to war.
We might get some wrinkles if you went and grabbed that M16.
You know, the stupidest question anyways. Scotty, well, you're so for this war, why don't you step up and go fight?
It's not a stupid question. Here's the thing. Here's the reason for the question. Because I know, I got email yesterday, and I won't lie, most of the email yesterday, people were, our court on this sort of thing, on the Dixie Chicks. I'm not going to lie about that. Most of the phone calls, too. But I got people that said that they felt that I was being unfair, or that I was asking unfair questions of you. But here's why I don't think it's an unfair question. Because it seems like it's a war that, you're support, but you want other people to fight for you.
Well, that's easy to just pull aside and get in the corner and say that when you oppose a war. It's easy to say something like that.
Well, it is easy to say.
I didn't get us into this war. I didn't vote for Bush so he could go to war. I didn't say, hey, once we get over there, why don't I just go jump in because I'm on the war bandwagon or any of that. What I have said all along is that, first of all, the military that we have today is voluntary, okay? And so when you volunteer to go into the military, there is a possibility that there will be a war. Another thing that we never seem to talk about is the fact that Clinton entered us into more wars than any other president. The only war we've been in is this Afghanistan-Iraq thing with President Bush.
Well, that's enough, don't you think?
I mean, it's really like, yeah, how many more really do you
is.
Want?
And the thing how about many? Clinton is that he entered us, and don't quote me on this, but here we were in several wars under the Clinton regime.
I will say
where
that
are all these people protesting and saying, take your son, and Scotty J., why aren't you joining
Well, I will say this, and I am no fan of a lot of things that Bill Clinton did. Bill Clinton was not a good president in many ways. Bill Clinton did not enter us into a conflict that cost more lives than 9/11, though.
Well, 9/11 itself was an attack on our country. So, yeah. So we've lost. We've lost. A lot of people complain about, what are we at? 2,000 or 3,000 total now as the trade-off in the
like
war?
Like 3,400.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well over 3,000.
Yeah, it's way past the 9/11 time.
We're still way under the tens of thousands of people that died in the war, World War II or whatever.
So we got lots of room to go, in your opinion. We got lots of time left.
It's always made out to be 10 times worse than it really is. It is horrible. It's sad that we lose anybody's life. I don't like it. If my son was over there and I lost my son, I would be forever not the same. But, you know, it's made out to be such a horrific thing, and we're over there actually.
Spreading democracy.
We can't leave the job undone. Okay. And that's a conversation in itself.
Before we get entirely and completely off the track, what I'm going to do here is we're going to do a small. Now we'll have another installment of this later on, but we're going to do a brief installment of this, Scotty J.
You need a chocolate friend.
Let's do this, and then we'll break.
This is chocolate. Loves you just the way you are.
Oh, you know what? I got something to say to you.
Some kind of ghetto act. Some kind of ghetto act.
Scotty Drake.
The urban perspective.
Chocolate friend.
Music by our good friend, The Low.
The urban perspective.
It's our inaugural installment of The Urban Perspective, music by our good friend and hip-hop artist, The Low. Scotty J., for today's installment of The Urban Perspective, we would like you to explain to us what your favorite rap single is and why.
I don't have a favorite rap single.
What's the first
if
one?
If I was to listen to some rap music.
What's some rap music that you enjoy?
The Low, he's up there on my list. But
way to get that.
Yeah,
way to start off just by polishing a boot. Yeah.
And I like the fact that he put in that ghetto act thing on there, and I'll keep saying that till the day I die about Tyra Banks.
Moving on. Every time I try to steer the show back, it's like somebody is grabbing the wheel today. Sarah, do you get the same feeling?
I did that when I was growing up too. I'd grab the steering wheel in the car.
Why don't you just let Scotty read his dumb essay?
Because we don't have time. Because we don't have time. It's like 55.
I'm sorry, Scotty. I don't think your essay's dumb, but come on. Why are you spending all your time writing an essay? What is your essay about?
Have you written an essay
about Black History Month? But we'll save that.
Have you brought in a two-page essay about Black History Month today?
I will definitely grab a hold of the wheel and steer the ship off course if you go into this now, because this one's a novel, as you say.
Then just talk
story,
about your rap song.
A book.
You're a DJ.
You know, I like a couple rap songs. I like, is it Usher? They do that. Yeah. I don't know if you consider that rap or hip-hop.
Sure.
Yeah, I get the two confused. I like that. I do like some, I can't even think of the guy's name now. The Slim Shady dude, Marshall Mathers or whatever, Matthews.
Oh, Eminem's?
Yeah, Eminem. There you go, Eminem.
It's that a easy. Sad world when Tim Eminem. Can name a rapper and you can't, my friend.
I like Blue Eminem.
So you're a wedding DJ, though. You must hear rap all the time.
It's more hip-hop, dance stuff. You know, it's really hard to dance to some rap stuff. I say stuff an awful lot, but...
Do you deal with a lot of urban people at your record ops? I can't imagine. You must have, like, an overwhelmingly just lily-white clientele. I've seen your record collection. I've seen the things you play.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just lots of wind beneath my wings.
But we have done some gigs where
gigs.
A little bit more urban perspective there. And the thing is, I have the music to back it up, so... If not, I tell him to bring it with him.
Bust out that Casey and the Sunshine Band. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back, talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger a little bit. We'll wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. I think Sarah needs a chocolate, huh? We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. What a strange program it's been today.
You're so mean, Rick.
I'm not... Oh, you're asking for it. moving on. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger with Fuel Show. What's coming up on the Fuel Show this weekend?
Well, actually, it's the countdown to the Daytona 500. For those of you that don't know, that aren't race fans, we are obviously all about the Daytona 500. It's the whole weekend, really. I mean, if you're into NASCAR, the roundy rounds, whatever you want to call it, we're definitely going to be hitting up Josh Pate from NASCAR.com to talk with us, and then we're going
right
to
on.
We're going to have a little.
I don't know who that is.
It's okay. actually, you know who we talked to last week? Bill Kim.
Oh, really?
All the people in the world.
Bill Kim, who used to work with us
at
Entercom.
With the OC.
Who, yeah, watched the OC.
Yeah, and now he's working for NASCAR.com, of all people. Came out of the blue and talked to us last
Weird.
Week.
Good for, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a cool
good
guy.
For,
really
good for him.
Yeah, he's having a great time over there in North Carolina. And then we're actually going to have a little impromptu fuel party for the radio show right after the show at one of the friends of the show, the Cheerful Pit Stop, which is a place where we kind of hang out. It's a big NASCAR bar.
Cool.
We're going to hang out there and kind of give away a few boxes of fries and whatnot. And kinda, well, I mean, I can't say I'm going to buy adult beverages for everyone because then all of a sudden a giant guillotine of FCC comes down on me. So what I'm going to say is we're going to be over there enjoying our fellow NASCAR fans while being taxied home at somewhere later in the afternoon.
Moving on, this email, Rick. Oh, this is back on Tim's thing. Here's another bus patron visual. I just observed a young man running down the sidewalk towards the C-tram bus stop all the time, digging his hand into his pants and then placing his fingers under his nose. Fantastic. He's probably on his way to sit next to Tim.
Come on.
Sign Lisa P.S. Buy bigger pants. Yeah, thanks. Thanks
for
that.
Do you get the window lickers, Tim? Is that what you get? Do you get to sit next to
the No, he gets the guys eating something out of a duffel bag.
I get crazy homeless people. Like, literally, like, they stink up the entire bus.
Yeah.
But don't you kind of enjoy that once in a while?
No, because they always talk to me. Like, my batteries died on my MP3 player today, but I didn't take off my headphones. I just pretended I was listening to it so that none of them would talk to me.
No, we all just pretend that we're either deaf or that we have headphones in or something. And, we all put off some sort of weird talk to me vibe.
Well, don't you have the phone with a little. I would be start texting people even
no,
if.
No, because
I was,
then people want to talk to you about your phone. They're like, oh, that's a neat phone. How, you know, what does that do? What's it called?
Yeah.
Who do you use? Who's your provider?
All right.
Where do you live? What time do you walk about the night alone?
So Julia, from David Douglas High School?
Yeah.
All right. See, I got it right. Came in to say, chop, chop. How do you feel about having spent your day here on this program?
I love it. It was great.
Oh, there's something.
Don't you think we're all kind of insane, though?
No more than me.
But you've heard us off the air. What do you think about us off the air? Like, between commercial breaks, what did you think?
Do you think Sarah was mean to me during the commercial breaks?
No. No.
She thinks he deserved it.
Everyone deserves their day.
Don't look at Sarah before you answer. It's okay. You don't need Sarah's permission to tell me what you really think.
Stop telling our 16-year-old dog how to stare at you.
Look right at me with an unblinking stare.
Break eye contact.
I will set you in a room with a giant picture of my own head.
Okay. And
yeah, I'm taking a picture of that after the show today.
There's nothing. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that?
No, and by the way, when you were when you said earlier that you were uncomfortable about me staring at you in your office, that was because I was trying not to focus on the picture behind me.
Well, it's a little bit of decoration. It's a little bit of office flair. That's all that is. Anyway, lots of people have pictures of themselves.
You were just making fun of Tori Spelling the other day for having that Warhol-esque picture on her wall.
Yeah, but that's just stupid.
This thing is huge. It's like 9 feet by, 9 by 6? That's what it looks like.
I don't know.
Practically the whole wall.
Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. What else do we have here? Let's see. We've got,
I can just imagine that the engineers, the next thing they're going to hook up in your office, Rick, is when you open the door, some sort of theme music will trigger.
That's a great idea. I ought to get a little keychain thing that just plays the theme everywhere
people
we go.
People like you should not be given offices.
People like me. What is it, people like me?
Or to just take them.
Or steal them.
What does that mean? People
because
like
you
me.
You get a little space at in this establishment, and then all you do is paper your face on the wall. And want the door to open to theme music.
I'm just saying I like to be memorable.
By the way, Tim and I are really enjoying our lockers. Thanks.
They've got your names on them. You can fit headphones in there. Rick, did I hear correctly? Did I hear you say that this poor young woman is there to help further her arts and communication degree? Dear God, Rick, you must warn her now. Warn her that her chosen scholastic path can only lead to unemployment and despair. There are only so many communications jobs out there, and Sarah has them all. Please, Rick, save her. It is too late for me, but not for her. You can save her, Rick. Tell her to hang out with the salespeople and to always be closing. That's true. And here's the thing. If everybody in the building hasn't already told you, we will continue to tell you. To Julia, who's the job shadowing student. And thank you for coming in, by the way, and thank you for tolerating our juvenile inanity. We make even the most retarded of high school students look like menses.
People never grow up.
That's
the
thing.
Isn't that comforting?
No, the thing is, you can just tread water in a sea of retarded adolescents your entire life if you get the right job. We are living proof of that. Not that you're in that state. I'm just saying, should you choose to be, here you go. But if you want to make money, not so much here. You want to go upstairs and you want to work in the sales department. Your life will end in penniless despair if you work on this part of the building. I give that warning to people knowing that they will probably disregard it. Yeah. Let's see. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was just saying to Scotty that Julia, after she graduates, maybe might want to come in there and answer the phones.
I'm sure more than anything else. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably what she longs to do. So, all right. Thank you, sir. Rick, Lars has a huge photo of himself in the studio. Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to be more like Lars. That's really where it comes
from.
Hey, I watched a little bit of Dennis. Does Dennis actually have teeth, or is that not Dennis? I have no idea what that even means. All right, we've got to wrap it up. It's 503-733-2970. We want to thank Julia, our job shadower, for coming in today. Thank you so much. Thank your parents, by the way, for, not coming and forcibly removing this program from the air at any point today. We want to thank Senior Radio Correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Storm Large will be in studio. She will join us in studio, and I believe we'll be talking to Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine as well. Dennis Pitzenbarger, thefuelshow.com is the website. This Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11, right here on this very fine radio station. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA, and the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. As always, my friends, thank you for listening. Don't look faster to get it down. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye now.